important book in the Bible. We use it very many times concerning salvation and deliverance and just giving some special messages that the Lord has for us. And this morning I want us to read in John chapter 19, and we'll read verse number 30. Just going to read one verse to start with this morning and deal with this subject that's given to us here in this verse. And we thank the Lord. What a tremendous verse this is. What a great message that's given to us here in just a few words here in this one passage. John chapter 19, verse number 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I want us to think this morning upon just the little word "done," or the little word "finished." We find here that the Lord has taken his trip to Golgotha's hill, and all the things have transpired, and we come to the sixth message, or the sixth phrase that the Lord gives us from Calvary, from the cross. There are seven utterings or seven sayings from the cross, and this one is the sixth one right next to the last. I believe the sixth and seventh came very, very quickly together, very close together, and because the Bible says here that he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up the ghost, and we know from other passages of Scripture that that last thing that he said, "Father, into thy hands commend I my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. If you have a Scofield Bible, we're not going to go through it this morning, but in Matthew chapter 27, down at the bottom footnotes, on that's page 1041, if you have a Scofield, there is a list there that's at the bottom of that page that gives you the this order of events of the crucifixion and gives you the Scriptures there. And I believe it's good for us to acquaint ourselves with what took place those hours that Jesus was hanging on the cross of Calvary. And the Scofield notes list them out, and he gives on that page, and then just right over into the next page, there are 15 different sequence of events that take place, and some of the things that happened there in those hours. The time that he went to the cross, went to Calvary, right before crucifixion, they tried to give him that drink mingled with gall, which was a type of sedative or a type of killing of pain. And the Lord refused that, and then they crucified him. And he begins his seven different sayings as he hung there on the cross. And this morning we read in our verse, the Scripture says that he just simply said, "It is finished." Matthew 27:50 says he cried with a loud voice. And so we know that when Jesus said these things, he was saying it not only for those immediately around him to hear, but he also said those things that you and I would be able to hear it with our ears of faith and see those things with our eyes of faith and believe them with our heart of faith of what Jesus did for us. You and I, when we were born, we all were born with an expiration date. We're gonna leave this world. We're going to die. The Bible says it's the point a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. And so when we were born, we are headed toward the grave. And this span of time that God gives to us, ever how long or ever how short it is, God gives to us the ability and understanding of His Word, that the things that we need are not just physical needs, but they are spiritual needs. There are needs that we must have in order to come back and to have a right relationship with the Lord. Now, we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to leave this world. But there on that celestial calendar, there's a time, there's a place that's appointed unto us to die. And we're going to there go one day, and we'll meet that judgment time. We'll meet that time of dying. on that day that we'll give an account to the Lord of those things that we have done. And we'll understand and we'll realize what Jesus said when he said, "It is finished." When he said things were completed, when it's all done, we'll understand what he really meant when he cried out with a loud voice, the words, "It is finished." Now, really, it comes from one Greek word. We have it translated into three words in our English language. But it's one word that he cried out. It's tetelestai. And he cried that word out, and it just simply meant completed. It meant paid in full. It meant everything had been accomplished. When he said, "It is finished," thank God, we have an understanding that that little word, "it," embodies the entire span of our redemption. I'm glad this morning that I can sing, "I have been redeemed." I'm glad I can sing, "I'm saved." I'm glad I can sing, "On a hill far away." I'm glad I have those things in my heart, because one day Jesus took upon himself my sin and your sin and the sin of the entire world, and he cried with a loud voice, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And everybody that heard that, they knew what that word meant, and they understood what it embodied. What a great triumphant call, what a great triumphant cry that is throughout human history. The great and mighty work has been completed. The work of redemption, of what the Jews had looked at and looked for hundreds of years now, had been completed. They had gone to the different sacrifices. They had killed their sacrifices, and now Jesus said, "Finished." Now he says, "It is done." You and I, this morning, I'm glad I can realize that my salvation has been complete in him. I'm glad it's not on a work schedule. I'm glad it's not on a part-time schedule. I'm glad when Jesus died and when he cried out that word there from the cross, he said, "It's finished." And thank God I can realize that what I have is something that has already been completed and transacted between the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. And one day I accepted that and believed that. And you as a believer, we came into the household of faith, and we came into the place of understanding and realizing and responding to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What a great call that is. The reason he can say that is because the work has been done. The reason he can say that, because the job had been completed. And now, thank God, this morning, not only do I realize it, not only do I respond to it, but thank God I can rest in that this morning. Whatever comes my way, whatever comes your way, whatever tragic incident or whatever joy may come to your heart, we can rest in the understanding that the work of salvation has been finished. It's all done, and we can rejoice in those things that he has done for us. I want to just go over two or three things this morning that has been completed. Those things that have been finished. When he cried that word, when he called out and cried with a loud voice, "Tetelestai," those things were completed in his life, and thank God one day all of it will be completed in mine and your life also. First of all, when Jesus finished the work, the pain of his life was over. We have to realize, and sometimes we forget, that Jesus was a human just like you and I. He had hunger pains, he had thirst, he had pain of his body, and all the things that they did to the Lord that day of crucifixion, it hurt him just like, and pained him just like it would you and I. Back in the Old Testament, Isaiah the prophet, he saw the Lord, he saw Messiah, and he saw him as a suffering Savior. He saw him that was wounded for our transgressions. He saw him that Isaiah says in Isaiah 53 that when we looked upon him, that even the vision that we would have of him, that he was almost would not even look like a human, and we would have he would have nothing that we would desire after him. When Jesus died that day, his suffering was over. Never will he suffer again. Praise the Lord. He suffered for my sins. He suffered for your sins. And as Isaiah saw him, as a wounded individual, as Isaiah saw him with one with blood running from him, as Isaiah looked upon him and realizing that he took upon himself the sins of mankind, Isaiah realized there is a Messiah coming, but he's not going to come victorious. He's not going to come living the high life. He's not going to come as a king, but he's going to come as one suffering. And thank God he suffered as the sacrifice. If you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll realize when we read the scriptures, we understand that Jesus did not have an easy life. That one that could have called 10,000 angels to deliver him from the cross, he, in his entire life, never was an easy life for him. As an infant, he lay in a stable in Bethlehem. His baby crib was nothing more than a feeding trough, a stable. He was there, and probably maybe a little clump of straw might have been where they would lay him that day that he was born. During his life, the scripture tells us he owned nothing. He had no possessions of his own. He had nothing that the world would look upon, and yet he came as a Savior. He came as a deliverer. And when Jesus hung there on the cross of Calvary, and the pains of death came upon him, and the pains would come to him like it would you and I if we were hanging there, and as he cried with that loud voice, "It is finished," thank God his pain never will return to him. And because of his loss, because of his dying, the pain that I have and the pain that you have one day, that'll all be washed away. All the tears will be ended. All the sorrows will be over. All the things of this life and the things of the life of before us, whatever it is, those things are ended because one day he died for us and we trusted and we believed upon him. Jesus suffered all of his life. I've got here four groups and you can find more. But there are at least four groups that were used to buffet the Lord Jesus Christ. They were people that were used by the devil to bring suffering and pain and anguish unto the Son of God. We find that there were many people in his day, as they are today, that are called religious people. I'll tell you what, one of the greatest enemies to Christianity is religion. It's just religion. Religion, what we think we can do for God, and how much we can obtain, and how good we are. And religion gives us all kind of rules and regulations. And the religious people of the Lord's day, they wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. They falsely accused him. And he suffered at the hands of religion. There are many Christians in this world today that are suffering at the hands of so-called religious people. It's not necessarily the people that are so bad, it's the organizations that they are tied to. It is that organization that has a hierarchy. It's that organization that has a rule and a regulation. And if you don't do what we tell you to do, then you're going to have a problem. And religion brings about suffering and brings about pain. Religion tries to kill people and does kill people even today because we don't adhere, because Christians do not fall in line. They do not walk the line like they are told to. And so there is religious people in this world that, and do never do you confuse religion and religious people with salvation and saved people. Now there are saved people that are religious and there are saved people that have religion in them. But I'm talking about religion that is against God. Don't ever get that confused with what true salvation is all about. When I got saved, God didn't make me religious. He made me born again. He gave us life. He gave us liberty. And religion says you got to do this when our scripture says, no, you got to do it this way. And so therefore, Jesus was ridiculed. He was falsely accused. He was tried to be stoned and finally was crucified because of the people of religion that hated him. But thank God that's all over now. He'll never suffer again at the hands of religious people. Not only are the religious people bothered him, but there were just plain regular folks. Just people like you and I know, society at large. People that would be maybe friends with us in a social standing or in a business way. Just regular people. They may not be religious, they may not be saved, but there are acquaintances that we have that are just regular people. Well, those regular people, they accused him of being possessed of the devil. They troubled him at every hand, and even the citizens of his hometown, Nazareth, conspired to kill him. Those whom he knew, those knew him as he grew up, they conspired to kill him, and they rejected him, and they ridiculed and mocked and made fun of him. And they were just regular people that maybe were acquaintances of he and his family. But you know that'll never happen again. When Jesus cried on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. He'll never be bothered again by religion. He'll never be bothered again by just regular people. And he'll not suffer at the hands of the rulers of the Jew or the rulers of the Roman Empire. You can read through the New Testament, you'll find there are those secular powers of Rome that cared nothing about him or cared nothing about his teaching, and really Pilate and the leaders, they feared him because he had such a strong following of people. And they ridiculed and rejected, and they, as their society was, their rulers sought to put him to death, and they went through a series of mock trials. You can read that in the Gospels where they, at a wrong time, in a wrong way, they put Jesus on trial. It was not even lawful. And the rulers of their day despised the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most rulers of our day despise the work of the Lord Jesus and his people. Never should we be confused that we think that we are in the majority. We are not in the majority. Our minority standing is getting smaller and smaller all the time. And so we find that's why laws and rules and regulations are made, and many times they're against us when they're never against anybody else. Because sometimes rulers bring about pain. But you know what? Jesus will never have to stand before Pilate again. Pilate will stand before him. He'll never stand before those rulers of his days and those that Sanhedrin of the Jews, those 70 Jews that ruled over Israel, and they had the right, and they could do and say and pretty much do what they wanted to. Those Pharisees that Jesus were bothered by and troubled by, he'll never be bothered by those people again, but they're all going to stand before him. Because one day Jesus cried to Telestai. One day he cried, it is finished, it is complete, it is done. Those three, we might not have too much trouble understanding why they would be painful to the Lord. Religions always. Regular people don't know God. Rulers usually do not know the Lord. But this fourth and last group that I thought of and have before me this morning that made Jesus suffer were people that were like you and I. They were the redeemed. They were his disciples that would follow after him and yet would not accept the words that he said. It was that 4,000 or 5,000 people that would be fed by him, but the next day they would be gone to be found no more. It was those folks that would follow and profess loyalty, but they backed away when commitment became costly unto them. When it began to cost them something, they were no longer around. They were no longer to be found, and they are classified as his people. They knew it was dangerous and they knew it was unwise to be friends with someone that was hated and condemned and was saying, even himself testifying, that he would be crucified and he would die. And so the Bible says that his disciples all fled him. They all left him, all except John. And so Judas would kiss him on the cheek to betray him, Peter and some of the others would go fishing and they would no longer be around him. And so all of those were there that I'm sure caused pain in the life and the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would go run and hide and they would hope they would not be found. And they didn't want to be next at the hill that's called the skull. They didn't want to follow there. They didn't want to go that route. They didn't want to die, and so therefore they ran. Their cowardice, they would need to, when they needed to stand, and I'm sure that brought disappointment unto the Lord. But when Jesus cried, "It is finished," that doesn't bother him anymore. They're not going to bother him anymore because they're going to see him. Even in after resurrection day, they would look upon the prints of his hands and his feet and his side. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus came that first time, and Thomas said, "I'll not believe it until I see it. I'll not believe it until I can put my hand in his side and I can feel the scars and the prints of the nails." You know, he was pierced with thorns and he was tied to a pole and he was beaten and he was nailed to a cross, but now that's all over and that's finished and that's done. Any suffering that you and I may face because of him, that too one day will be finished. Whatever we face today, I don't know what you're going to face and I don't know what I'm going to face. Every day we wake up, it's a mystery day. I've heard people say, well, they wake up in a new world every day. All of us do. We wake up and we know not what's ahead of us. But there are some that know that every day is going to be just like the day they just spent. There are some that they're going to suffer the same abuse that they suffered yesterday. There are some that will suffer neglect and no one cares. They'll suffer that anguish of heart and spirit and mind that they're all alone and no one really cares about them. There are folks that we know and folks that we love that sometimes every day they face the same pains that they faced yesterday. They face the same sickness that's in their body every day. But aren't you glad that one day all that's going to be finished? All that's going to be over. Probably in this auditorium this morning, that if we were to go and ask for testimonies of people that we know, people that we are in contact with, people that we have in our families or people we have in our lives, that we know they're suffering. And today is no different than yesterday. And tomorrow they have no hope that it'll be any better. Aren't you glad Jesus said it's finished? One of these days the pains of the body will be finished. One of the days the aches of the bones and the mental anguish and the struggle and the sorrows, praise the Lord, will all be gone. Because one day on the cross of Calvary, Jesus cried, "It is finished." I believe there's more to those three little words in our English language than we can attribute to. I believe it goes much deeper than just a few things. I have said and I have heard others say, and maybe we have said it maybe too often, that when Jesus said it is finished, he meant that the work of redemption was completed. And that does mean that, but I think after looking in some of these things, I think it goes far deeper than just redemption. You see, Jesus cares about me where I am right now. Jesus cares about you where you are right now. Jesus cares about your hurting of the body. He cares about the hurting of the mind. He cares about the soul that is in anguish. He cares about those that are in sorrow. And all those things I've mentioned, and it could go on and on and on and on. All those hurts, one day, praise the Lord, it'll all be finished for you and I. Now that's for the saved person. it's going to be finished. Now, for the lost person, their hurt, their abandonment, their ridicule, all of those things will continue throughout all eternity. But for you and I this morning, thank God, the pain will be over as it was for the Lord. It is finished. Number two, the payment has been finished. This is what we just dealt with. Thank God he paid it in full. I said earlier that we're not on an installment plan. Thank God. When Jesus said it is finished, he finished and paid in full the sin debt that I had. He paid for every action that I did. He paid for every thought that I've had. He paid for those things that nobody else would ever know about. Thank God Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. The payment has been made. In the Old Testament, we read of the Jews, and they would do their sacrifices. Every year, on certain day, they would do certain sacrifices. They'd have the one sacrifice, the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and there he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, representing the death and the pushing forward of the sins of his people, and he would go there and make sacrifice. Every one of those Old Testament sacrifices, as it was done, thousands and thousands of lambs and oxen and turtle doves and goats were all slain. And they were all doing it with the hope that one day there would be a sacrifice where they would not have to ever sacrifice again. And that took place when Jesus said, "It is finished." All those sacrifices of the Old Testament looked forward to a time when God would send forth His sacrifice. And everything in the Old Testament pointed to none other than Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "I came unto my own, but they would not receive me." But I'm glad for the next part of that verse. It says, "But unto He came to His own, and they would not receive Him. But to those of us that would receive Him, thank God, He gave and paid the price." Those Old Testament saints, they died in faith, believing that that last payment for their sin would one day be made. They died looking forward by faith that somewhere a deliverer would come and take their sin away. The word atonement means a covering. And that's what the Old Testament had, was nothing more than a covering. And it pushed those sins forward until the next Day of Atonement. And they had to do it again. My Bible tells me that there was a day when Jesus died that he'd never have to do that again. Judas would kiss him on the cheek and he would mock him. But yet, Jesus was victorious. And these Old Testament saints, these Old Testament priests, they were not allowed when they were on duty, when they were doing their work as a priest, they were not allowed to sit down, because sitting down represents a finished job. They were not allowed to sit down because their job was never finished. But my Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2 that Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When Stephen was stoned, the scripture says that Jesus stood and beckoned him to come. And so the job has been completed. The payment has been made. The price has been paid. And that endless stream of sacrifices that didn't do any good except following the will of God, pointing to one day that Jesus would come. And thank God one day he took their bankruptcy. One day he took their sin. One day he took my sin and your sin. And he washed it all away. Praise God. When he said it is finished, it's finished. The scripture even says that if we're not careful, we'll try to crucify him afresh if we try to do it again. Salvation is finished, job complete. Hebrews 9:26 says, "Once hath he appeared to put away the sin by the sacrifice, not of a lamb, not of a goat, not of a turtle dove, but the sacrifice of himself, the Lamb of God that John the Baptist said, "Behold, there he is, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." God's wrath against sin was fully exhausted upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The justice of God was fully satisfied, and our substitute paid our price. Praise the Lord. It is finished. We do not have to worry about it ever again. This means that sin may be within me, but it's not on me. It may mean that I'm lured to sin, but I'm not lost in sin. I'm conscious of my sin, but I'm not condemned by my sin. I'm no longer under the condemnation of God. I have the grace of God that has freely given us life and eternity. So this morning, when Jesus cried with that loud voice, "It is finished," thank God the price was paid. The pain is over. But lastly this morning, there's one other thing that I think is so very important. The Prince is also finished. The Prince of this world. The Bible says in John 12:31, Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And we know who the prince of this world is right now. It's none other than Satan. And I'll tell you what, he's finished. He's done for. He's raising his ugly hand and he's working his devious ways and he's doing all that he can right now. But I'll tell you what, I've read the last chapter and so have you. And one day he's going to be finished. One day his job is going to be over. One day his work is going to be completed because Jesus completed his work upon the cross of Calvary. Can you picture the scene this morning as the Lord hung there? I believe the devil was there. I believe he was there to watch and to make sure everything was going to go just the way he wanted it. The crowd was there. Some of them mocked and made fun. Even those that were crucified with him, they said, "Let him save us and himself." That crowd was there. Of course, Christ was there. My sins were there. Oh, but I'll tell you what, one other person's there. And he's called Jehovah God. He's there. And there that day upon the cross of Calvary, the stress and the strife and the battle that is fought, on that day when Jesus cried, "It is finished," the battle was over for my soul. The battle was over for your soul because he had completed the transaction. Now we, in the process of time, we learn and we believe and we trust. But my sins were forgiven that day. It is finished. The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 2 verse number 13, "And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Now do we believe the scripture? The Bible says here he has forgiven us all our trespasses, our sins. He says in verse number 14, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Colossians 2, 13, 14, 15, some of the greatest verses of all the New Testament. He took those offenses that were against us. And the Bible says he nailed it to his cross. Those broken laws and those sins, those things that we have to say, "I'm guilty of," those things that I would look at and the Lord says, "Here's your problem," and we'd have to say, "Yes." Colossians here says that he took all those offenses, all those trespasses, and he nailed them not to a cross, but but he nailed them to his cross. And then it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, that's the prince of this world, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Thank God victory has been won. Thank God the Lord has paid the price. In those days, when Jesus was crucified, when a criminal was hung on a cross, his crime had to be publicly proclaimed. And they usually would write a list of things out and they would nail it to that individual's cross. When Paul wrote these things to Colossians, he understood full well what he was writing under inspiration, that the Lord took all those things that Paul had done as Saul. He took those men that he had caused havoc in their life, and even death and destruction. He took that vote or that concord that Paul had as they stoned Stephen, and he held their coats while they did that. And Paul said, there's my list. What's our list this morning? Thank God he took that list and he nailed it to his cross. I don't have to die this morning because of my sin. He died for me. I don't have to suffer the pain and the anguish of hell all eternity because he's already suffered that for me. I personally believe Jesus suffered everything on the cross that an individual suffers in hell. He took my place. He nailed it to his cross. Thank God for the last verse, number 15. He spoiled principalities and powers. You know what it means to be spoiled? It's no longer usable. You get a drink of milk that's been spoiled, you'll know it. You don't want any more. He spoiled principalities and powers. And then the Bible says here, he made a show of them openly. Not done in hidden, not done in dark. He made a show openly. And then the Bible says he triumphed over them. No wonder we can sing victory in Jesus. Because one day he cried, "Tetelestai, it is finished." Thank God the debt has been paid so completely and so entirely that no further payment will ever become due. During the time of the Lord, when someone would owe a bill and they would get that paid, you know what that bill would say when they got it back from their creditor? It would say, "Tetelestai, paid. Paid in full." Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Because he said it's finished, pain one day will no longer be with us. Because he said it's finished, the penalty is no longer there. Because he died, and because he said finished one day, old Slewfoot the devil, he's going to be finished. He'll have his last day. And it's all because one day Jesus on the cross of Calvary said, "It is finished." Thank God this morning for what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lifted up was he to die. "It is finished," was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's stand together this morning.